Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online on this Monday, Thursday to give you the opportunity to call and get immediate answers to your questions or to discuss the important issues in your life right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. And that's 844-322-2742. Or if you like the short version, it's 844-32-BASIC. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and welcome, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This Sunday, Christians all over the world are going to gather and celebrate the single most important event in human history, and that's the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That is the game changer. That is the one event that injected hope into this existence of ours,
yeah,
to give us a sense that there is a future, that we do have something beyond the grave, that we can have life everlasting. That is just great news, and I think it's the most important day of the year, and just cherish, you know, the opportunity to connect with other believers and to celebrate this single event. Today, I thought I would just read Luke's version of the story of the resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Yeah.
That was the story of the resurrection. That was the story of what happened that first Easter morning. The women went to the tomb. They saw that the stone had been rolled away. They entered in. They saw that Jesus' body wasn't there. And then two angels appeared, or men, as it says here, and they gleamed like lightning. And they asked the question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Every time I read that, I get goosebumps. I tell you, it is just that exciting. It really, really is. This is the good news of the gospel. The women went and told the 11 and the others, and they looked at the women as if they were speaking nonsense. And that's the way many people in the world today view the resurrection, that it's merely nonsense. All the skeptics point their fingers to that one event and say, "That just can't be. That's just crazy talk." Even when the apostles went out sharing the good news that Jesus had been raised from the dead, many people mocked them and sneered at them and said, you're just talking crazy stuff." But it's not crazy. God is capable of raising the dead. Why? Because he has power over death. That's where our hope lies. That's why this is the good news.
It's a great conversation for you to join in, friends. We want you to do that. A couple of you already are. Still plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. At Basic Gospel, Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us. Again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this Monday, Thursday edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Miles in Calgary, Alberta. Hi, Miles. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm very good, thank you. I have a question I'd like to direct to Richard, and it's about having him to describe the temple, because what I've heard is that the temple had at its center the covenant, which were laws, the Ark of the Covenant containing laws on tablets. and that these laws, I'm told, were never given to the Gentiles, and indeed the temple was surrounded by numerous layers of walls at different perimeters, and then even a final screen that I've been told Gentiles could see through but would be killed if they passed. And it makes me think that when Jesus said, "It is finished," it relates to the fact that all of that temple was destroyed. What do you think of that? And do you have more information about the temple for me?
Well, I think you've described it quite accurately without, you know, getting into excruciating detail. The temple, the Jewish temple, started as the Jewish tabernacle in the desert experience when Israel was heading from Egypt to the Promised Land, was the center of Jewish life because that's where God was. God was to be the center of their lives. And so everything in the covenant pointed to the temple as the final statement of truth and of grace and of forgiveness and you know, the perfect picture of who Jesus is. And when Jesus said it is finished, he wasn't kidding. He had come and had fulfilled the old covenant in its entirety, completely. And when he said it is finished and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit and the curtain separating the most holy place from the holy place was torn from top to bottom, that literally destroyed the old covenant because no Jewish person was allowed to go behind that second curtain. And the high priest just once a year on the Day of Atonement. And now here it's torn open, and we read in Hebrews, of course, that Jesus made the way clear into the throne room, and now we're invited to boldly come in to where we were never allowed before. And it wasn't just Jews, but Gentiles. And yes, Gentiles were never part of that. They were never allowed in. Even when they became Jewish proselytes and joined Judaism, you know, went through circumcision and all that, they still remained Gentiles. They were kind of second-class citizens. And all of that was destroyed. And the tragedy of it is that Jewish leadership missed the whole point and doggedly pursued this old covenant until the temple was physically destroyed by Rome in 70 A.D., there's the tragedy. They could have said, Jesus is the one. I mean, everything Moses said has come true, and he is the one. But instead, they rejected the only one who could save them and ended up losing both their nation and their place in the world for 1,000 years into the future.
Well, and they missed it because, you know, everything in that old covenant was a shadow.
Yes.
It was foreshadowing the person and work of Jesus Christ, even the temple. The temple was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ himself. He claimed, he said, tear this temple down,
and in three days I will
rebuild it. Well, he was referring to his own body. Mm-hmm. And the temple, the dwelling place of God, has now changed. It is no longer a building that was erected by human hands in Jerusalem. It is the body of Christ.
Yes.
We are now the dwelling place of Jesus Christ himself, and we see that on Pentecost. We see the consecration of that new temple as the tongues of fire landed on each of the apostles, and that was to indicate that God's presence was now within men. That is the dwelling place. So we are the temple, the body of Christ. And so there's no need for a building anymore. And that's what that building foreshadowed, and that's the reality that we experience today.
Thank you, guys. Truly amazing. And have a joyous Easter, everyone.
Thanks, Miles.
Thank you, Miles. Yeah,
thank you.
You too.
Yeah. Plenty of open lines. Time on the clock, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Question, friends, if you were asked to give proof of why Jesus Christ is alive and living in you today, what would you say? Well, Bob and Richard explored that topic very, very thoroughly in our CD called Proof. We'd love for you to have a copy of it, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. Simply go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC, and just request your copy of Proof when you are able to join us and support the ministry of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Let's go down to Hutto, Texas, and talk to our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Clay.
Hello, man. Good to hear you all.
Nice to hear from you as well. What's on your mind today?
I sent my gift in yesterday. I can't wait to get that that proof. It sounds exciting.
Well, you'll be very, very pleased. It'll be a real blessing in your life, Clay.
Yeah, I know it's going to be good. And that's what I called in. You know, mine's delayed 30 minutes. I didn't even know I was calling about Luke 24, where he was risen. But my question, and I'll hang up and listen, because I get stirred up when I talk to you guys, and I know you know, and it just stirs me up because you know how much I love the program. And so, you know, I'll text you or write you to expound on things, because really we don't have the time here. And I just want to let you know I love the program. But my question is, the disciples being the taught ones, okay, and Mary of Magdalene being having seven spirits that were cast out of her that weren't of God. That's all I'm going to say, okay? Because we know what the reputation is, and we know that's not the truth. So isn't it ironic that not the disciples weren't the ones to discover the empty tombs and the tomb, and literally the first human to preach the gospel was not a disciple, but a woman, and one of them had seven spirits of, what would you say, infirmity or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And I'll listen to y'all expound on that, because from the concept of God takes the foolish things to confound the wise, and his ways are not always our ways. And the education of man and all this ascension to the things of God is just plumb foolishness, and as well as the cross is. And I'll hang up and listen, but I'll have to listen in 15 minutes. Thank you, man.
Okay. Thank you, Clay. Hey, yeah. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah.
And Clay actually brings up a very interesting point.
Yes.
And one that actually works to prove, to make the case for the resurrection. You know, if this was just a made-up story, women wouldn't have been the first to see that the tomb was empty. They would not have been the first to report it. Why? Because back in those days, women were considered basically second-class citizens, and their testimony was not credible.
Yes.
It was not given its full weight or full importance. And we see that in this particular story, as even the disciples, when they heard this message from Mary Magdalene and the others, they said it sounds like nonsense. They did not believe the women because it sounded like nonsense. They didn't put a lot of weight in that. And Peter said, if maybe this is true, but I've got to go find out for myself. I can't just rely on what these women have said to me. I've got to go find out for myself. So I think it's an important point. It's one of those facts, one of those pieces of evidence that actually supports the case for the resurrection. I think the writers of the gospel accounts just left it as it is. Mm-hmm. Said, this is the way it happened. We're not going to try to change it up. We're not going to be, you know, revisionist as far as history is concerned. We're just going to lay it out there because this is true. The women were the first to be there.
Yes.
And each of the gospel accounts, and this story was written in all four accounts. There's a little difference in all of the telling of the stories, and that's to be expected as well. But in all four, a woman or the women were there first, and they were the ones that reported it. And that's just astounding to me. So I think we need to look at that and recognize the historical significance of it, that if this was a made-up story, if this was legend that some man was trying to promote, then it wouldn't have been written this way.
No.
The men would have been there. And so I think this is a significant piece of evidence.
Yeah, look at this. I mean, at this point, Jesus is raised. We are under the new covenant. And, of course, these folks don't know it. They don't understand yet. We are under the new covenant. And I have to believe that when Paul came to the understanding of what God had done to declare this through women. That's one of the reasons he could say, in Christ, there is no male or female. We are just one in Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Clay, we certainly appreciate your call and your question, and thanks for bringing that up. That is a part of this CD, Proof, the Resurrection. That's one of the pieces of evidence that we look at in some detail, and it is a CD that we want you to have. We want to put in your hands. Why? Because there are many people questioning the reality of the resurrection. Did it actually occur? We know in this world today that the Muslim faith is growing and expanding, and its influence and impact is making a difference in the world. Now, I'm not saying a positive difference. It's just
it's just there.
But one of the things, some of the leading, scholars of Islam are saying that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. I mean, they say he died. But they say that he didn't die on the cross, and therefore he wasn't raised from the dead. Well, why are they saying that? To disprove the resurrection account. Why? Because if the resurrection is true, then everything about Christianity is true.
Yes.
Then we must pay attention to Jesus. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then Christianity just goes by the wayside. So they are making an effort to discredit the resurrection story. We see that with other religions as well. There have been some Hindu leaders that have basically said, no, Jesus was severely injured, certainly.
Yes.
He was hung on a cross, but he didn't die. He actually came off of that cross. He healed. And after he healed, he made his way to India, where he later died. That's their story.
Yes.
Well, why are they saying that? Well, to discredit the resurrection account. But when you look at all the evidence, the most probable explanation is that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead. And if God exists and he wanted to raise Jesus from the dead, then guess what happened? He raised Jesus from the dead. So we can see this and realize it, that this is an actual event, that this has history behind it. It can be proven. And we talk about that on this particular CD. We want to put it into your hands. It is a wonderful tool. It's something that you can listen to. Once you listen to, you can pass it on to friends that might have questions about the resurrection. So take advantage of this great offer.
And it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. And again, go online to basicgospel.net or call our operator at 844-41 Basic. Right now, plenty of open lines. Still time on the clock. We'd love to hear your question on this Monday, Thursday edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and my name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Again, join us at 844-322-2742. A toll-free call, of course, 844-322-2742. Lines available right now. And guys, from Jersey City, Marie listens on WMCA, our great New York area affiliate. Her question is, she says, I get very confused when I listen to so many different people preaching the gospel. I know God loves me, but I always feel inadequate. I'm always aware of my sins, real or exaggerated. I pray all the time. I pray for my enemies. I try to talk to others about Jesus. I have good morals. I worry about what God thinks about me. I feel that I'm losing my mind. How do I get clarity and try to understand that I am responsible for me and me only? I can try to talk to others, but I cannot change anyone. Why am I interpreting the Bible in this manner? I want to grow closer to Jesus, but all of this self-conscious behavior makes me feel very uptight. I am intelligent. Why can't I grasp this? That's from Marie in Jersey City.
Well, very, very good question.
Yeah. Thankfully, that's never been my problem.
I mean,
she just laid out the human problem right there.
That is the human problem, and it's a problem that sin brought into the world. Sin really is the problem. And when we are kind of viewing things through the lens of sin, we get a distorted view of everything. We get a distorted view of God. We get a distorted view of ourselves. We get a distorted view of what God must think about us. All of it's not true. So sin leads us down a path of deception, and we buy into that deception. So to break free, we need to come back to truth and to ask the question, what does God really think about me? So we judge God to be our enemies. we to be our enemy. We judge God to be mad at us. We judge God to be distant from us. We judge God to be angry with us, about to unleash his wrath against us. That's what sin tells us about God, but that's not true. And the only way to find out what is true is to look at Jesus, because in Jesus we find out the truth about God the Father. That's why Jesus said that he came. I came to make God the Father known to man. Well, what do we see about God the Father in the face of Jesus Christ? Well, we see this first and foremost, that he really does genuinely love us.
Yes.
That he was never our enemies. He was never against us. He was always for us. And he demonstrated that through Christ's death on the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were alienated and enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, God reconciled us unto himself, and he presents us to God the Father as holy and blameless in his sight. So in Christ, we get a totally different picture of God the Father. We actually see that he cares for us, that he's interested in us, and that he loves us. And that's the great mystery that was revealed in Jesus. So we have to put aside our feelings and not let feelings dictate how we respond to God, and let truth dictate that. Truth is going to set us free. Feelings will not. So what's the truth? God loves us. He's declared us to be righteous. He's given us a brand new identity. He's given us hope. He's caused us to be born again. He's translated us out of darkness into light. We have all of these wonderful truths about us that are true simply because Christ did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And we have a wonderful resource. It's called the New Covenant Journey. And in this, we look at all of the New Testament scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ. And we would love to send that to this particular person and to anyone else that is having problems with their identity in Christ. If that's you, I encourage you to go to basicgospel.net and pick up a copy of this wonderful resource, The New Covenant Journey.
If I could speak just to the beginning of her question, she talked about listening to all of these ministers and being confused.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to get rid of the confusion is to focus solely on Jesus Christ. The best of us in ministry are just humans. We've been saved by grace. We have things we understand and things we don't understand. The worst of us are horrible. But Jesus is truth. If you go to the Word of God, start in the book of John, John's Gospel. Go to that, let Jesus be revealed, and amazing things are going to happen, because the confusion will go away.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Richard.
Well, let's quickly go to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Thank you. Hey, I'll be really quick. One of the sad things that's going to happen Sunday is many people will hear about resurrection, but that'll be the only time in the year that they hear about it. And one thing about our ministry here at Basic Gospel is we talk about resurrection life almost every single day that we broadcast. We talk about Jesus and the entire gospel. And the context of Jesus plus the entire gospel will open people up to that truth of resurrection life. And I thank you for being so consistent and persistent in Jesus Christ with the message.
Well, thank Absolutely. You, Brad. Yes, thank you so much for those kind words. And I think that's an important point. So often people will just hear about the resurrection. They'll hear that story just this one Sunday out of the year, but it is the story of Christianity. Without the resurrection, we have absolutely nothing, and we need to learn how to make it center place in our everyday lives.
Without question. Our heartfelt thanks to each of you who have supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and your financial gift, because you are the reason the message of the grace of God continues on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. If you can join us in supporting and becoming a partner with us at this time, we would love for you to visit us online at basicgospel.net. And for your gift of any amount at this time, we'll get you a copy of Proof, the new CD by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.